Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
To the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, reporting from a socially distant place, namely my house just across the river from Washington, D.C. As of this moment, according to the Washington Post, updated as of 2:02 p.m., 61,434 people in the United States have died from coronavirus. 61,434. I'm sure by the time this broadcast is over, it will have bumped up by a few hundred. At least 1,051,000 cases have been reported in the U.S. Now, that's largely an underestimate due to the mistakes of the Trump administration that we've brought out many, many times on this show. We are nowhere near the level of testing per capita of virtually any industrialized nation, not close to Italy or Spain, much less the more competent ones like South Korea, Germany, and Taiwan. We have, however, reached the level of the former Soviet dictatorship of Belarus. We've reached Belarusian standards. We are as good as that dictatorship that's a little less competent than Vladimir Putin. So, yay. What that means is that there's a lot more people out there with the virus. We know this virus is incredibly contagious and far more deadly than the flu, for example. But mostly it's just really contagious. And if a million people have been reported to have it, likely 3 to 5 million or so have it. Again, the death toll, 61,434, a number greater than all the Americans lost in all our more than 10 years, almost 20 years, in the country of Vietnam. As Americans died in Vietnam, of course, this country rose up. People took to the streets. Young people in the protest would say, "Hey, hey, LBJ, how many kids have you killed today?" Well, in a month, we've lost more Americans than we lost during the entire Vietnam era. And of course, we can't march in the streets, social distancing. The people who are marching in the streets are marching for a different reason. They're not marching to complain about the deaths. No. No, they're marching to encourage us to lessen social distancing standards so that more people can die, in their view. Well, you know, it's no big deal. If a bunch of people die, it's no big deal if 60,000 die. After all, 12,000 died of the swine flu under Obama over the course of a year. And we've lost 60,000 in a month, even with social distancing. I guess facts and figures are not the heart of what the movement's all about. Now, when you think about the Trumpist movement, when you think about the people who are out there marching, and I saw some of them as a state legislator. As you know, I am elected to serve in the state legislature of Virginia, and I go down there. I was down in Richmond, and a group of people were circling in their cars, honking, trying to disrupt our proceedings, wanting us to reopen Virginia. Okay. But 61,434 lives? Isn't that meaningful? You know, I remember when the Republicans devoted, I've lost count, 7, 9, 12 hearings over a year to four people who were killed by terrorists in Benghazi, trying to pin it on Hillary Clinton. But 61,000 needless deaths, I'll give Trump the 434. Let's say we're only half as competent as South Korea and 434 Americans die. What about the other 61,000? What does a Trumpist think? And if there are any in the listening right now, Let me know what you think. Usually when I ask a Trumpist what they think, they respond with insults. Mark, you're an idiot. Mark, you're a tyrant. Mark, I hate you. Mark, how many babies have you killed? And maybe abortion is their biggest influence. And again, they don't give a damn about 61,000 people dying, but they do care about the fetuses. Maybe that's it. It is hard. I must admit, it's hard for me to get in the mind of a Trumpist. Remember when Hillary Clinton said that the many of the Trumpists were racist and sexist? Actually, she didn't say many. She said maybe half. And those people are deplorable. And the Trumpists, instead of saying, "We're not racist," responded with, "We're not deplorable." Think about that, right? Racists are deplorable, I say to you. And your response is, I'm not deplorable, rather than I'm not racist. But that was the big thing. How dare Hillary Clinton call us deplorable just because we're racist and sexist and homophobic and hate immigrants and hate educated people? Don't call us deplorable. You'd think they'd say don't call us hateful. But they accept that. What goes on in the mind of a Trumpist? Do they actually believe their leader? You know, I was thinking that when I heard the disinfectant talk. Shortly after my show last week, Donald Trump gave one of his more, I'd say more outlandish, it's hard to define outlandish by Trumpian standards, but, well, let me play for you the clip. You've probably heard it. I'm going to play it without interruption. It's only about a minute long. But know this. This was not in response to a reporter question. This was Trump musing on his own, as Dr. Deborah Birx put it. He had just heard about a study that suggests that sunlight, and particularly disinfectant and ultraviolet light, can kill the virus outside of the body. So Trump had an idea. Well, let's play it. You've probably heard it, but maybe not heard the full 1 minute. Let me play the full 1 minute.
I'm going to ask Bill a question that probably some of you are thinking of if you're totally into that world, which I find to be very interesting. So supposing we hit the body with a tremendous, whether it's ultraviolet or just very powerful light, and I think you said that hasn't been checked, but you're going to test it. And then I said, supposing you brought the light inside the body, which you can do either through the skin or in some other way. And I think you said you're going to test that too. Sounds interesting. Right. And then I see the disinfectant where it knocks it out in a minute, 1 minute. And is there a way we can do something like that by injection inside or almost a cleaning? Because you see it gets on the lungs and it does a tremendous number in the lungs. So it'd be interesting to check that. So that you're going to have to use medical doctors with. But it sounds interesting to me. So we'll see. But the whole concept of the light, the way it kills it in 1 minute, that's pretty powerful.
So there he is. And you've heard him, uninterrupted by me, suggesting that if light kills the virus outside the body, we should just try it inside the body. If bleach, disinfectant, kills outside the body, we should try it inside the body. If poison kills roaches outside the body, maybe if human beings drink the poison, they can kill the bacteria in their body. Maybe they can. They'll kill themselves too, but hey, get that virus. And it was interesting right after that happened, because there were hundreds, if not thousands, actually hundreds in each state, so thousands, tens of thousands, added it up, calls to poison control of people that wanted to know if they should drink bleach, if they should inject themselves with disinfectant. And that's really understandable. When the President of the United States suggests taking action to cure a virus, there are going to be some people that listen to him. What's interesting is when, after the media made clear that this was foolish, that this could kill you, please don't drink bleach, folks, then a number of Trumpists, well, then Donald Trump came out and said, oh, I was being sarcastic. I can't think of one instance in Donald Trump's 70-odd years when he's ever been sarcastic. Let me know if you find one. But, you know, he's turning to Dr. Birx. She looks uncomfortable, asking her whether or not we should inject disinfectant in the body. Looking, you know, when someone turns to you and says, you know, I think that'd be a really good idea, right? I mean, like almost like a child showing her drawing and she's five, you know, and the person's taller than the house and, you know, has a purple face. And what do you say? You say, that's a really nice drawing, right? It's very hard when someone clearly wants approval and comes up to you, you give that approval. Unless what they're saying is absolutely ridiculous. And of course, Dr. Birx knew that she couldn't say no because she'd be fired, but she couldn't say yes because then a bunch of people would try it and die. So she stayed silent. And I understand why she did what she did. The question is, what did the Trumpists think? Who are these people? Why do they continue to support him, even as he's going around giving advice that would kill people? We've talked in the past about Jim Jones, the Reverend Jim Jones at Georgetown. He was the guy who made his folks drink the Kool-Aid. If you ever wonder where that expression came from, it came from Jim Jones, who literally made his supporters drink Kool-Aid with cyanide in it, with poison in it, or cyanide or arsenic. I forget which poison was in it, but he caused 700, 800 people to commit mass suicide because they trusted him enough to drink the Kool-Aid, which he put a poison in. Do Trumpists trust their boss enough to drink the Kool-Aid, to drink the Clorox, to drink the disinfectant? Do they? Because a lot of times when I talk to them, I ask them, do you know that Donald Trump is lying to you? And it's fascinating the answers I get. 99% of the time, I don't get an answer to that question. I get, Mark, you're an idiot. Mark, you're a tyrant. Mark, you're a horrible person. Mark, we're going to vote you out of office. I just asked a question. Do you believe Donald Trump is lying to you? Oh, well, Hillary Clinton lied once, although I can't think of a time Hillary Clinton lied. Maybe she did. Joe Biden lied. No. I'm just asking you, Donald Trump, who's on record with 16,000 odd lies in his first 3 years. It averages 44 a day. That's just the ones that they know about that they could objectively prove. 44 a day. I don't think I make 44 statements in a day. I don't think I make 44 statements on a radio show. Do Trumpists believe their boss's lies? They won't answer that question. 99% of the time, they'll just attack the listener. That's what Donald Trump does, right? He gets a question he doesn't like. Oh, you're a poor reporter. You're a terrible person. Da, 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 da. I don't want to answer the question of why I said that this would dwindle down to zero a month ago. I don't want to answer it. I'll deny saying it. I'll lie about it. The reporter said, well, you were having rallies a month ago. And he said, I don't remember having rallies. Really? Really? Your memory's that poor? Maybe Donald Trump does have the kind of mental illness that only allows him to see, I'm right all the time. I can't imagine I'm ever wrong. I'm always great. Love me, Daddy. I don't know. But for his supporters, are they as dumb as they pretend to be? I'm not sure they are. And I want to try to address that question a little bit more when we come back from break.
Never confuse Mark Levin with right-winger Mark Levin. The second E stands for empathy, which the other Mark lacks. And now, the voice of reason in an unreasonable world, Mark Levin.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levin. So I was thinking about why Trumpists do what they do. I mean, who would support a man who right now has, due to his mismanagement of the coronavirus, not only caused the death of some 61,000 plus Americans, likely tens of thousands more, but also tanked the U.S. economy? And if you think that it wasn't, that it would happen to anyone, all you have to do again is look at South Korea. South Korea, they didn't even have to go to quarantine because they caught it early, they tested widely, they isolated the people that have it, and their economy is doing just fine. But there's a cognitive dissonance with Trump supporters. They really don't want to focus on Donald Trump. Because I would argue the heart of a Trump supporter is hatred. They hate liberals. And so it's not really that they love Trump. I really find it hard to believe that anyone could actually love Donald Trump. But what they do is they hate people who have college educations. They hate people who are black, or they hate women, or they hate gay people, or they hate immigrants, or their life isn't very good. And they're struggling. I remember when President Obama got in trouble for saying people clinging to their Bibles and their guns, and people were like, oh my God, how could you say that? And yet, who do I find that mostly support Donald Trump? People who put faith ahead of reason. People like, very sorry, that man who recently died in Virginia, the preacher, sang religious songs, believed that praying to God would protect him from any virus, and it didn't. He died. Or people who really, really, really love guns for whatever reason. They feel inadequate. They feel like a gun gives them power that they otherwise wouldn't have. They feel more of a man, and these are mostly men, if they have a gun and they don't want it to be regulated the way responsible gun owners do. These are Trumpists. Or people that are really, really concerning about abortion or just want to get right-wing judges on. But here's the thing. Christian fundamentalists used to care about people cheating on their wives, right? Used to care about sexual assault. 60-odd people. This isn't one or two, right? This is 60-some-odd people have accused Donald Trump of sexual assault. Used to care about lying. Used to care about immorality. Used to care about lack of religiousness. They don't care anymore. Why is it? I would argue that the heart of a Trumpist is not about Donald Trump at all. That Trumpism predates Donald Trump. It will continue after him. That we have seen nationalists, populists all over the globe. We saw them in the 30s. We see them today. It really comes down to an insecurity, to people struggling to find their own way. And rather than finding out what they themselves have done wrong or actually laying out what politicians have done wrong, it's all about saying that someone else is not good enough. After all, that's what Donald Trump does, right? Anytime you challenge what he does, he doesn't respond to the question of what he does. It's always a question of someone else is not good enough. When we come back, I want to explore an article that I posted recently about Donald Trump.
He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded, liberal American. He's Mark Levin.
Today that more than 5,000 posts, videos, and comments promoting disinfectants as a virus cure.
What?
Virus cure. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube all this week. Very few of these posts have been taken down. 5,000 people at least so believed Donald Trump that they were promoting killing people. Now, I don't know, and you can help me answer this question, whether you think these people stupidly believed Donald Trump was telling the truth and therefore were negligently offering people advice that would kill them. In which case, if I called them stupid, would someone attack me? Probably. Or, much, much worse, did they know the president was lying and was trying to encourage people to kill themselves? Let's assume it's not the latter, just because I don't want to think of people who are actively posting information that they know will kill others. I don't think Donald Trump realized that the advice he was giving would kill. I don't think he cared enough to check it out before he said it, but okay. The point is, just like the people who drank Jim Jones' Kool-Aid, maybe even seeing people start to die from the poison in it, there are Trumpists out there that will follow this guy to their death. And the question is, why? I've always felt that there's two kinds of Trumpists out there. They're the ones who are, I'm going to say it, and you're going to attack me for it, ignorant enough to believe what Trump is saying. They're the same people who went to Trump University and paid $35,000 for a meaningless degree for watching YouTube videos. The same people who lent money, Deutsche Bank, idiotic to lend a dollar to Donald Trump, right? I mean, maybe they're getting funding from the Russians. I don't know. We may find out soon enough. But otherwise, I think they're pretty idiotic, anyone who does business with Donald Trump. But people who drink bleach and then die or become very sick from it because they believed in Donald Trump. Ignorant, not stupid. Ignorant because they are ignorant of real life, ignorant of facts, ignorant of truth, probably because all they do is watch Fox News or listen to Rush Limbaugh and they believe every word they say. I actually feel sorry. I pity people like that. Pity people who live in this conservative universe and don't have enough common sense to realize their president is lying to them. And then to the people who just believe in hate and want to hate, and Donald Trump gives them permission to hate and love that. I think a lot of Trumpists, though, don't fall in either category. A lot of them, they think they can ride this horse. A lot of Republicans felt that way, right? Yeah, Donald Trump is incompetent. Yeah, he's an idiot. Yeah, he has temper tantrums. Yeah, he's narcissistic. But I'll just compliment him. I'll lie to him. And I'll get power. Kind of the same reason people support Kim Jong-un or Vladimir Putin or Saddam Hussein. I don't think it's because Kim or Putin or Hussein inspired a lot of love, maybe to really, really ignorant people. But I think most people were like, no, I'm going to ride this to power. I'm going to collect. I'm going to be like Jared Kushner. I'm going to marry into the family and make hundreds of millions of dollars that I don't earn just because I'm going to be friends to this guy. But what happens? I forget who was the conservative pundit who said very cleverly, anything that touches Trump dies. I mean, think about Brian Kemp, the governor of Georgia. Now, here's a guy who's trying to do everything by the Republican playbook, right? What did he do? First thing he did is Georgia's Secretary of State while running for governor is he removes tens of thousands of blacks from the voting rolls. First rule of Republicans, you can't win unless you're racist. So remove all the blacks, do the Jim Crow stuff, do what happened in Georgia 100 years ago. Remember, the Republicans on the United States Supreme Court overturned the Voting Rights Act, not based on the Constitution, mind you, but based on their own view that racism doesn't exist anymore. And because five Trumpists, well, I won't even call them Trumpists. I think they're smarter than that. Five conservatives on the U.S. Supreme Court took a law that passed to end Jim Crow, was voted on 98-0 in the Senate. They just said it doesn't exist anymore because racism doesn't exist. Because the Supreme Court has long ago stopped trying to make opinions that actually made logical sense ever since they chose the President of the United States back in 2000. But the point is, because Georgia could now do Jim Crow laws again, they removed tens of thousands of blacks from the voting rolls. Brian Kemp barely squeaked into government, based entirely on this racist white privilege idea of, you know, don't let blacks vote, beating Stacey Abrams. My guess is she would have won if every Georgian had had the right to vote. But then he comes in and Donald Trump is saying, you know, liberate Virginia, liberate Minnesota, liberate Michigan. So he says, okay, fine. I'm going to do what Donald Trump says. I'm going to let all the Georgians go out. And with Dr. Fauci behind him, Donald Trump, who can switch positions on a dime, said, wait, no, I think Kemp's gone too far. Kemp's left twisting in the wind. But you could say that about virtually all of Trump's supporters. Remember Reince Priebus or Anthony Scaramucci or, I don't know, Alex Azar or the list goes on and on. He's gone through so many generals and chiefs of staff. Because if you tell Donald Trump the truth and he doesn't like it, he's going to fire you. And if you don't tell him the truth and things go badly, well, he's going to fire you. And if you just suck up to him as much as you want, like Chris Christie did, for example, well, then he doesn't trust you. But the only people he truly trusts are the dictators, right? He misses poor Kim, poor murderous dictator of North Korea. He loves Vladimir Putin. He respects power and that power, absolute power that dictators have. But the thing I find most interesting is not Donald Trump. You know, Donald Trump has the complexity of a toddler and not a well-behaved toddler, because let's face it, most two-year-olds are better behaved. What I find much more interesting is his supporters. And that's why I posted an intentionally provocative op-ed by a British writer on my website, which had been filled with trolls, to see how they would respond. And I'm afraid they responded typically. Let me first of all read to you what I posted. I thought it was very strong. In fact, I agreed with every word of it. It's a British writer by the name of Nate White was asked, why do some British people not like Donald Trump? I'm going to read this description to you. And you can ask yourself whether you agree with it or not. He wrote, a few things spring to mind. Trump lacks certain qualities which the British traditionally esteem. For instance, he has no class, no charm, no coolness, no credibility, no compassion, no wit, no warmth, no wisdom, no subtlety, no sensitivity, no self-awareness, no humility, no honor, and no grace. All qualities, funnily enough, with which his predecessor, Mr. Obama, was generously blessed. So for us, the stark contrast does rather throw Trump's limitations into embarrassingly sharp relief. Plus, we like a laugh. And while Trump may be laughable, he has never once said anything wry, witty, or even faintly amusing. Not once. Ever. And I don't say that rhetorically. I mean it quite literally. Not once. Not ever. And that fact is particularly disturbing to the British sensibility. For us to lack humor is almost inhuman. But with Trump, it's a fact. He doesn't even seem to understand what a joke is. His idea of a joke is a crass comment, an illiterate insult, a casual act of cruelty. Trump is a troll, and like all trolls, he is never funny, and he never laughs. He only crows or jeers. And scarily, he doesn't just talk in crude, witless insults. He actually thinks in them. His mind is a simple bot-like algorithm of petty prejudices and knee-jerk nastiness. There is never any underlayer of irony, complexity, nuance, or depth. It's all surface. Some Americans might see this as refreshingly upfront. Well, we don't. We see it as having no inner world, no soul. And in Britain, we traditionally side with David, not Goliath. All our heroes are plucky underdogs. Robin Hood, Dick Whittington, Oliver Twist. Trump is neither plucky nor an underdog. He is the exact opposite of that. He's not even a spoiled rich boy or a greedy fat cat. He's more a fat white slug, a Jabba the Hutt of privilege. And worse, he is that most unforgivable of all things to the British, a bully. That is, except when he is among bullies. Then he suddenly transforms into a sniveling sidekick instead. There are unspoken rules to this stuff, the Queensberry rules of basic decency, and he breaks them all. He punches downwards, which a gentleman should, would, could never do. And every blow he aims is below the belt. He particularly likes to kick the vulnerable or the voiceless, and he kicks them when they are down. So the fact that a significant minority, perhaps a third, of Americans look at what he does, listen to what he says, and then think, yeah, he seems like my kind of guy, is a matter of some confusion and no little distress to British people, given that, A, Americans are supposed to be nicer than us, and mostly are, and B, you don't need a particularly keen eye for detail to spot a few flaws in this man. This last point is what especially confuses and dismays British people, and many other people too. His faults seem pretty bloody hard to miss. After all, it's impossible to read a single tweet or hear him speak a sentence or two without staring deep into the abyss. He turns being artless into an art form. He is a Picasso of pettiness, a Shakespeare of SH, you know the rest. His faults are fractal. Even his flaws have flaws, and so on ad infinitum. God knows there have always been stupid people in the world, and plenty of nasty people too. But rarely has stupidity been so nasty, or nastiness so stupid. He makes Nixon look trustworthy and George W. look smart. In fact, if Frankenstein decided to make a monster assembled entirely from human flaws, he would make a Trump. And a remorseful Dr. Frankenstein would clutch out big clumpfuls of hair and scream in anguish, "My God, what have I created?" If Being a Twat was a TV show, Trump would be the boxed set. So that's pretty strong language. And yet, I think he described Trump to a T. I think he described exactly the essence of who Trump is. Nasty and stupid, simplistic and narcissistic, someone who brings out the worst because, well, he is the worst. And what I found really interesting is when I posted this on my delegate webpage, the response from the Trumpists were all the same. Not one of them defended the man. They all did what he does. They all attacked me. They all attacked the messenger. Not one of them said, "I believe Trump is good. I believe he's decent. I believe he's kind. I believe he's smart." Not a single one. Some of them said Trump 2020. But none of them disputed a single word of the article. Instead, they attacked me for saying it. Now, if someone were to say to me, "Mark, I think Joe Biden is stupid," I would say, "I don't think he's stupid. I think he's very smart." And I would give examples of why I think he's smart. If they say, "I think, Hillary Clinton is indecent," I would say, "No, I think she's very decent." And I would give examples. Someone said to me, anyone I respect, "I think Barack Obama is this, that, or the other." If I disagreed, I'd tell them why. I wouldn't just say, "You're an idiot. How dare you call Barack Obama stupid or a liar?" I wouldn't say you're an idiot. I'd say, "What facts do you have to back it up? What's your sources? Where do you come from? Why do you make this allegation?" Trumpists don't say that. They don't say, "Mark, what is your basis for this very, very strong assertion of who Donald Trump is? How could you call him nasty? How could you call him an idiot? What's your source?" They don't ask that. Now I'm going to read their comments when we come back. Unfortunately, that's kind of what you might expect. Right back after this.
He's a Harvard economist and a Yale lawyer. He does not keep up with the Kardashians. He's Mark Levine. He's a Bible-quoting, Constitution-loving, flag-waving, red-blooded liberal American. He's Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I am your host, Mark Levine. I read to you some very strong language describing, I think, to a T, the President of the United States. And I was going to read you all the nasty comments I got in return and go through them and show you how not a one of them defended Trump. They all simply attacked me for attacking Trump. But I don't have time to go through that now because there's a news flash. Armed men have now invaded Michigan State House.
What?
To gain access to the House floor, trying to attack the governor. Police are protecting her. And I don't know why these people aren't arrested. I hope every one of them is arrested. Every one of them goes to jail. One of them slammed a reporter in the head with a rifle. Needless to say, they're not socially distant from one another. So I guess there is some solace in the fact that many of them will infect each other. Of course, we'll have to use resources. Here's the thing. Folks, if you want to do a protest, do a protest. But don't arm yourselves and try to take over a state. That's called civil war. And I know the South tried it once before, and it didn't work out too well for them. Meanwhile, my producer, Mark Grimaldi, just sent me another tweet of a bunch of Trump supporters performing in blackface right now, here in 2020. You know, we are facing really hard times. We do have 60,000 plus Americans dead. And yet the way to resolve this is to talk about it, right? I said the president is nasty and stupid. You disagree with me? Fine. Tell me why you think the president isn't nasty or isn't stupid. You can just say, well, Mark, you're nasty and stupid. Well, fine. Give me some facts. Because I don't think it's nasty to call a nasty person nasty. In fact, I think Democrats for all too long have been too patient with nastiness, too patient with stupidity, too patient with racism, too patient with armed violence. Does anyone doubt that if these were black people in Michigan State House with guns, they would all be immediately arrested and or worse? Talk about white privilege. You do not have a right to take your gun and threaten a government official. No, you do not. This is very dangerous, folks. We are headed to a dangerous spot. And if Donald Trump is reelected, we are on the verge of civil war. Largely from the Trumpists. If you believe democracy works, then we have to talk to each other. We have to understand why. Why is it so important to preach hatred? Why is it so important to preach nastiness? Why can't we all just try to save lives? I admit, I don't understand Trumpists. I don't think they even support their main guy. I think they're full of hatred and fear, and they're acting accordingly. And I find that sad, but they are my fellow Americans, and we have to figure out what's going on. This is Mark Levine. Sorry to end on a painful note. We'll be back next week.